Welcome to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk.
Hello everyone, welcome to episode number one of the Self-Help Podcast. I'm your host Edward Lamb and I've got Sean Orford with me here. For more information about the work that we're doing, visit liveinthepresent.co.uk. If you can do, we'd really appreciate you leaving some feedback for us on iTunes so that we can help improve this podcast. If you leave us a five-star review, we'll mention your name in next week's show. Okay, what's going on this week? We're going to talk a little bit about us to start this week's show off, just so you can get to know us a bit better, hopefully. We're going to talk about who we are, what we've been doing, right up to what we've been doing in the last week or so. We're going to talk a little bit about what's caught our eye in the news this week, and then we're going to move swiftly on this week's topic, which is sunlight. Okay, Sean, do you want to get started and talk a bit more about what you do, who you are and where you've come from?
Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm Sean. I'm a psychotherapist initially trained in the East in Ayurvedic psychotherapy, where I was under vows and lived as a brother in a community. Came to the back to the West and did Western training. These days, I work half my life in the National Health Service, seeing patients. The rest of the time I'm working in private industry, change management, coaching with executives, and I also do quite a bit of meditation and yoga teaching around. What about you, Ed?
Very good. Me? Well, I do a bit of this and a bit of that as well. I'm a designer and entrepreneur. I've got a company called Dupe Creative where I help other businesses get online. So I build websites and I help them out with digital marketing. Bit of a geek, really, at heart. I'm also, I like the odd little adventure, so I like to climb mountains here and there when I get the chance. I've got a little motor racing team. Me and a pal have got a go-kart, and I like a bit of motorsport every now and again. I give them permission to go out and have some fun there. And, yeah, we've got this little project, Dawn, myself, and Ree, we should mention, who's the third part of Living the Present.
It's like a three-legged stool.
Yeah. How long should Living the Present been going for now? We've probably been building it for a few years now, haven't we?
Yeah, 3-4 years.
We've got a book called, funnily enough, Living the Present, which I'm sure if you visit the website, you'll see. Yeah, we've got big plans for it for our little company, haven't we, Sean?
We have, indeed. Our little company will be a big company.
Hopefully, yes. Yeah. Yeah, making the world a happier place. Links up on the show notes so you can find more about us. We're both pretty active on Twitter, LinkedIn, that kind of thing, so you can follow us all over the place if you want to. What have we been up to this week? Sean, do you want to talk a little bit about what you've been up to?
Yeah. I've had some real highs and lows this week. My week started off not too good with the death of a young person and having to deal with that in the hospital, and that was pretty difficult stuff. Mm-hmm. Towards the end of the week, life became much, much lighter, and I had some friends come back from India, and I just love cooking. I love cooking, I love eating, and managed to do some pretty lovely food. We had a beautiful weekend. The sun was shining for maybe the first time in forever in Britain, and we were actually eating outside, which was great. That mm-hmm. was really, really good.
Marvellous.
Yeah, good weekend. Yeah, lovely.
Well, it was a bank holiday weekend in the UK, wasn't it? So, yeah. Three-day weekend for most people.
And the sun was shining.
And incredibly, the sun shone, which is relevant to what we'll be talking about shortly.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I made the most of it and got outside a lot over the weekend too. Lots of fun with the family. And aside from that, I've been building things online. I've got a couple of little projects that I've got bubbling in the background, which I won't mention now because I want to keep them low-key till I launch, but some interesting little things that I'm building when I get a chance. Let's move on to the news, Sean. What's caught your eye this week in the news?
The main thing that's caught my eye, and I think this will have to be another podcast in the future, women are revisiting the feminist agenda, and it seems to be coming quite hot. I've been listening to things on the radio and reading things in the news. And it makes me realise, as I look at it, that men have never done this. That many of the men that I work with, certainly, are living in mindsets that are pre-war. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like an industrial mindset that needs to be brought into the present. And our work at Living the Present has to include this at some point. We need to get all these guys around us to come into the modern world.
Yep.
Yeah. Controversial. But
would you consider yourself a modern kind of guy?
I think I'm more modern than lots of the guys I work with. Certainly. I mean, the idea about emotional intelligence. It's okay having lots of IQ, which is great, but we need EQ. We need that emotional, empathic bit. And men do have it, it's just that they're not taught to use it.
Mm.
Yeah. But like I said, that's a podcast.
I don't know if this is related. Yesterday I went to the doctors. I've just registered a new surgery, which apparently meant that I had to get like a little checkup done and blood pressure and all that. So all checked out fine, which was cool. I was more interested in the things that they didn't ask me, emotional things. Like they ask you, obviously, how much you weigh, what's your height and all that, and they check all that. But they didn't ask key questions, maybe like, I don't know, how often do you laugh each day? Things like that. I put it on Twitter, actually. I was asking, why didn't they ask, how often do you speak to your parents?
Yeah.
You know, which are those, maybe they're the kind of things which doctors should be asking patients.
Well, if you consider that over 60% of the people that go through the doors of a general practitioner are there with emotional problems.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this should be the top of the list, really.
Yep. I think that's for another podcast, perhaps.
Yeah,
we could talk for a while about that.
Yeah.
Cool. In terms of news for me, this is breaking news in the last hour or two in the UK. Sir Alex Ferguson, the manager of Manchester United, has announced he's retiring at the end of the season, which maybe not everyone listening is a sports fan, but there's things that interest me about that in terms of, first up, he's 71 and he's retiring, which is, you know, kind of, well, 6 years beyond the national retirement age in the UK. Is it old to retire? Should you retire? Should we all be aiming for jobs where we just work till we kick our heels up, or what do you think?
I think that once people retire, unless they're highly motivated, they go into wind down.
Mm.
And I'm not quite sure what retirement is about, in the sense of what do you do with your time during the day.
Yeah.
When most people live in a world which is quite planned and quite organised when they're working, and as soon as they stop working, they go into free fall.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure that retirement as a concept is a good thing for human beings anyway.
Again, I think another podcast on the go there.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's make a note of that. Interesting. And it'll be interesting to see how he handles retirement, because I think it's already been said that he's going to be a director at the club. So he's obviously going to still have a hand in things.
Yeah.
How much of a hand, who knows? Whoever takes over for him, is he going to be kind of watching over them a little bit? I don't know. But let's wait and see. But
it'd be a hard act to follow, wouldn't it, if you were sitting in his seat and he sat behind you as a director?
Just a bit.
Yeah. Definitely quite a confident person to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, let's move on to our topic of the week, Sean. We're going to be talking about sunshine, its effects on us, how important it is, and the difference it makes to you as a professional therapist. I'll get the ball rolling and let you hand over to you here a little bit, because I'm assuming that come October, November, when the nights start to draw in, your phone starts lighting up with calls and people having more emotional issues.
I've written down in my notes, when we were talking about this podcast, why the Brits take holidays in the summer and not the winter.
Mm.
I mean, the way that our brains work is that we're very much affected by sunlight. When the clocks go back up this end of the globe at the end of October, and we suddenly have that sense of darkness, in November, people start to slip into depressive phases. And if it's been a very grey, horrible winter, by the time we get to February, then people are queuing outside the door seeking help.
Yep.
And that whole idea about seasonal affective disorder, SAD, the idea that people's motivations drop, their energies drop, and really, it's a time of hibernation.
Mm.
And the further you go up the globe, by the time you get to Norway, Finland, so we're having days that are reducing down to an hour or less, and we get 6 months of darkness, then people's emotional well-being goes out the window, and you get a huge increase in alcohol consumption, but also in the consumption of antidepressants.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a whole range of clients who know that they get seasonally affected, and in about August, middle of August, they'll start to take St. John's wort, which is the herbal equivalent to chemical antidepressants, but they take a while to get into your system. So they'll spend August, September, October building up the St. John's Wort in their system, which will raise the serotonin levels in their brain and take them through the winter, through to the sunnier months. So at the end of March, they'll start coming off. Because that's the key. The key is serotonin. If your serotonin levels are up, then your system is raised. You have a sense of well-being. When the serotonin levels drop, that's when we get disquiet and depression.
So some people naturally have more high levels of serotonin than
others. And some people will say to you, oh, I love the winter. I love that whole feeling about being able to curl up by a log fire and dark nights and that kind of thing. But they're people that naturally have high levels of serotonin, and they're not affected in the same way by the lack of sunlight. How do you get on in the winter? Are you good?
I'm okay. I mean, yeah, I'm a pretty happy-go-lucky kind of guy, as you know, Sean, but I can sense it myself. Things like motivation-wise, I always look forward to the spring and summer just because I find it easier to hop out of bed in the morning and feel good about getting things done. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned medication there. I assume that medication is kind of a last resort for people when
that's one of the sad things, is that in our society at the moment, when we go to the doctor and we start to talk about depression, the first thing that the doctor reaches for is the prescription pad. And for most people, they come out with a prescription for some kind of happy pill. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that if you need it, but it's not the first line, but it tends to be the first line. There are many other ways of raising your serotonin levels, which include all kinds of things. Like the first one is humour. When you're having fun and life is a pleasure, then your serotonin levels come up, they're higher. And I guess anybody that's listening to this podcast, I'd say to them, what have you done in the last week that was for you, that gave you some fun and some pleasure? Because if you're not doing it, then you're not feeding the serotonin. The most common things that people do, certainly in Britain, which is now sadly the fattest country in Europe, is to get their serotonin, they eat carbohydrates, because we now know that when you eat carbs or comfort food, the brain secretes serotonin. So you get into the carb cycle, where you will start to eat more food to feel better, then you go and look at yourself in the mirror and feel really bad, so you go and eat more food to feel better again. So you get into this carbohydrate spiral, and we just get bigger and bigger. I mean, we're up to 25% of people that are obese in this country.
In the UK.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not good. Bad. Other ways of getting serotonin are exercise. If you get your heart to beat for 20 minutes, you'll get a burst of endorphins in your brain.
That's another tricky thing, hopping in there come winter. Exercise is harder to do because it's colder, so you don't want to go outside perhaps and go for a walk or a jog or hop on your bike. Like, I know my parents are in a local cycling group, and I joined them last year, and it only runs May to, I think, September.
Yeah.
But the weeks between those months, 60, 70 people meet up nearby and go for a bike ride.
But what that means is that in the summer, with the sunlight and the exercise, they've got this massive level of serotonin, so the mood is up. And then as soon as we get into the dark months, they stop the exercise. So they've got a double whammy.
Yep.
They're coming down, no sunlight and no exercise. Really, what we should be doing, if we're going to work with our systems, is in the winter, we should be exercising more. We should be doing more stuff to keep the serotonin levels up. I mean, the amount of times the kids will say to me, you want to go swimming? And I'll go, oh, no, I can't be bothered. And in the end, they drag me out. And I go there reluctantly. But then I come back from the swimming baths going, doopy-doopy-doo, because I feel very high, because the endorphins have flowed.
Yep. Yeah.
Motivation levels, when it gets dark, start to drop. But that's when you have to use willpower to give it a kick. Because what you feed grows, what you starve dies. If you feed the serotonin levels in your system, they will stay up higher throughout the winter. Yeah? If you don't bother, then they will drop further and further and further. Not good.
Well, I know, but you can advise people to watch their diet, to exercise more. But it's that missing thing is the willpower to do things, isn't it? That you can't give to people, or you can. How do you find that?
Well, it's interesting that, because when you start to look at the willpower of any individual, and then you start to look at the motivation that it takes to get yourself organised, to go down to the supermarket, to buy the buns to eat, to get your serotonin levels up. And I guess if you ran to the supermarket, you'd be doing yourself a favour rather than going in the car. The idea that motivation And willpower is something that we don't have. The amount of people that say, oh, I can't do that, or I don't do that. Whereas it's the issue of just beginning to do something. And it's, again, it's what you feed grows. If you do a bit today, you can do a bit more tomorrow, and you can do a bit more the day after that. Mm-hmm. Yeah? But if you do less and less, then the motivation diminishes. You have to keep it going.
Yep.
And in a way, there are no excuses. And I do spend my life with people, giving them an emotional slap sometimes, which is, you know, come on, you've got to get this going. And I think one of the things that you showed me was that the app that you can put on your phone called Lyft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big fan of Lyft.
You use that a lot, do you?
I use it every day. It's fantastic. We'll put it in the show notes so that people can have a look at it. Really simple little app for your phone, for your smartphone, where, yeah, you just set some... I've got 8 daily habits that I try and do. Simple things like go for a walk each day, exercise just to get my heart rate going, tell my wife I love her. That's one of them on there as well, which I think I'm on about a 15-day streak for that, which is pretty good. But yeah, I need to do some writing really about how I use technology to motivate myself.
Yeah.
I think the Lyft app's brilliant. I think more, a lot of my motivation, I'm a self-employed guy that I work on my own from home. So motivation can be an issue, you know, because I've got no one except myself really driving on. But I think it's about who you surround yourself with as well, the people you hang out with, the people that you're speaking to every day.
Yeah.
So I've got a few pals that I speak to on a message forum online using WhatsApp, and we're all self-employed guys, you know, with business ideas, and each day we're kind of messaging each other to see how we're getting on. And I think who you surround yourself with, well, it's a proven fact, is, you know, is really important, that kind of thing, yeah.
But that comes back to what you feed grows. Mm-hmm. If you're with a bunch of people that are miserable and moaning about life, then that's the bit that you're feeding inside yourself by listening to it.
Yeah.
It's that thing about being positive. And if you look at most parts of our society, you turn on the TV and no one's going to tell you what a good day it's been. News is about bad things that happen.
Yep.
And those are things that we feed ourselves with. And assured that I know many, many people who get into the ideas of self-development and living in the present who stop listening to the news. They see the news as a negative part of their day. Yes, we need to be informed. We don't need to be inundated with this negative repetition all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I guess one thing that I should say as well, especially for any parents that are listening, because I know that in some areas, certainly in areas of Britain, this becomes quite a big issue, is that one of the ways that people get serotonin and raise that level of well-being is through self-harm, which sounds bonkers. But if you cut yourself or you burn yourself, then your brain releases serotonin. Wow. And there are some schools in Britain where we get epidemic issues of people cutting, which isn't good. And that's something that we need to be aware of, and we need to work with whenever we see it. But essentially, if you look after your well-being and you consciously in the summer develop regimes that you continue through the winter, you will maintain levels of serotonin and you will maintain that sense of well-being within you. So like your mum and dad, they should keep cycling as it starts to get darker.
Yeah.
Yeah, which makes so much difference for them.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know my dad does. My mum's not as...
she needs a tandem so she can get off the back.
That's a good idea. That's a very good idea. Yeah. So, I mean, how did we get here? In this, obviously, one thing that doesn't help in the winter is that the clocks go back.
But the thing is that always astounds me, because there is that sensation when the clocks are moving and we go to British summertime, or we go back to Greenwich Mean Time, is that we have this sense of the change of light, but it's only the clock that's moved. And if we adjust our lives to stay with the sunlight, which is what our ancestors would have done, they would have slept in darkness and been awake in the light.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that means, sure, that in the winter they would have slept longer. Yeah. I'm sure that people up in Scandinavia didn't sleep for 23 hours a day. Yeah, they couldn't have done. Yeah. But if we work with the sunlight, I mean, I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, I wake up and usually get up and do my meditation at that point. But my body clock is a 5 o'clock body clock. Whatever's going on, once the clocks switch, I'm waking up at 4 o'clock for a few days and then it switches through to 5. But it's using that time to maintain my well-being.
Yeah.
And that's just so important. You have to know yourself and you have to develop your regime to do that. Yeah, I mean, you're good at it. You get up and do things like you're using Lyft and you're saying, I could go out for a walk and I do that kind of stuff. Yeah, if everybody went out for a walk at lunchtime, yeah, the world would be a very different place. Just 20 minutes. 20 minutes get your heart beating.
Brilliant. Resource of the week. So you've got a book you want to mention, Sean?
Yeah, there's a book. It's just called Happiness. That we're going to put up on the site so you can get the details of it. And I love it because it's a book that's kind of humorous. It's full of pictures and cartoony things. But it's about our sense of well-being, how do we make ourselves happy. And it's applicable to all ages. But when I look at it, it makes me smile. And that's the first bit of happiness, isn't it? You know, feeling good.
It is, yeah. And I'm going to mention something a bit off the wall, but it's a film. Well, it's called Sunshine, the film. It's a Danny Boyle sci-fi movie. It's a bit out there in that it's about 10 or 12 guys that are on their way to the sun, set in the future. Yeah.
That's bizarre.
So if you want to, we're talking about sunshine, so I thought it was kind of relevant. But it's interesting. It delves into the psychology of the fact that they're on this spaceship on their way to the sun, so they're obviously on their own. The kind of relationships that build up between the different guys on the ship and the relationship that they build with the sun as well. Because they have this viewing platform where they can go and stare at the sun, and it affects a couple of the crew members in quite a strange kind of way. Awesome film. I'll put a link up and I'll put the trailer in the show notes.
Yeah, I need to watch it.
Take a look. Yeah, it's pretty. So it's out there, but it's one of my favourite movies actually. So
yeah,
so have a look. Right. Okay. Brilliant. If you can visit our website, you can download all the show notes for things that we've talked about today, the books, the films we've mentioned, and news articles that we've talked about. You can also download our free ebook, 11 Simple Ways to Live in the Present. If you could, again, as we mentioned earlier, you could leave a review for us on iTunes, that would be fantastic. And as I mentioned, if you leave a 5-star review, we'll mention you in next week's show. Next week, we're going to be talking about anxiety. It's quite a big issue, as we discussed off air before, Sean, so it may feel, well, we're going to try and squeeze it into half an hour as normal, but yeah. Anxiety is a big one, right?
Big. It's the biggest problem in Western society.
Okay, yeah. And we're going to tackle it
in half an hour.
We'll have it sorted, no problem. Okay, thanks for listening to the Self-Help Podcast with me, Edward Lamb, and Sean Orford. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, guys.
We'll see you again next week. Don't forget to access the show notes and join our mailing list at livingthepresent.co.uk. Thanks a lot.